So the first reading today in Exodus, we see an example that the people of Israel, they had not earned God's liberation from the Egyptians. They had simply asked for it. In great prayer and petition, in their oppression, they asked for liberation, freedom. And God met them in their need, in their inability. They could not do it themselves. And so God reached into Egypt, one of the most powerful civilizations at the time, and armies and influence and all of these things. And he drew his people forth to make them a people of his own. And the interesting thing of that, my brothers and sisters, is in making them a people of his own, in drawing them forth, they were supposed to manifest in their faithfulness to him this same gift of love for each other, for God, and for the world. The invitation for them to be a holy nation was for them, through them, to bless the entire world, that the whole Gentile world, all of the others, the nations, the Gentiles, would be blessed through their faithfulness to God and his faithfulness to them. To see what faithfulness is, to see what love is, manifest in God's fidelity to his people. We come to the gospel text, and the people now have entered the promised land. They are in the fulfillment of all that God wanted for them. And yet, the consequences, not of slavery, physical slavery, remain, but the consequences of spiritual slavery remain. There is sin. There is the consequences of sin that they are dealing with. Illness, leprosy, demonic possession. People are dying. All of these manifestations of the consequence of sin that people are still dealing with. And Jesus, in seeing them, it says what? He looked at them and said, fix yourself, then I will love you. Right? That's what he said. Right? You heard it in the gospel, right? No, it's not what he said. It's not what the gospel writer said. He said, in seeing the situation which they could not change, they could not overcome, his heart was moved for them. You know what this phrase means, don't you? You ever experienced that someone in a difficult situation of life, and the difficulty of their life is so overwhelming that they can do nothing about it, and your heart is moved for them? Have you had that experience? No head bobbing, nodding, shaking, anything out there this morning. Our hearts get moved for people, especially those who cannot do anything to change the situation. We are moved to compassion. Jesus, the Word incarnate, the second person of the Holy Trinity, his manifestation of his love for them in seeing their need, his heart is moved. You understand this? In seeing their need, his heart is moved. Not in seeing their need, he judges them. Not in seeing their need, he condemns them. In seeing their need, his heart is moved for them. And so what does he do? He takes the 12 that he has been pouring into, that he's been pouring his love into, and he empowers them and sends them forth to manifest the kingdom of heaven, to manifest his love, triumphant, victorious, in their midst, to overcome what they could not overcome on their own. God meets them in their need. Has anything changed? Can we overcome all of these things by ourselves? It was just, you know, it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have modern medicine. We don't need an intervention now. We can do all of this stuff ourselves, right? With the right psychologist, we could overcome what we thought was demonic possession. With the right doctors, we could overcome illnesses and sickness. With the right amount of false reality clinging to ourselves, we can overcome death in some way. We are still, my brothers and sisters, living in the manifestation of all of these things. Yet something radically has changed. And that is, Jesus Christ has laid down his life for us, the most radical gift, the most radical manifestation of love for the world. There is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. In pain, in sorrow. We just celebrated this last week, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, an image of who Jesus is. I'd say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Take a picture of Jesus' heart, crowned with thorns, burning in fire of love, his heart opened up, split open, and water and blood flowing forth from his heart. The font of all holiness, the font of salvation, the font from which we draw forth the sacraments, the font from which the Holy Spirit comes for us. To see love outpoured, to see love. Why is this so important, my brothers and sisters? Because we can get into the mindset that we have to do something for ourselves first before being loved. Now this weekend, in our secular world, we celebrate Father's Day. It is good when we have a good father. Don't you agree? It is bad when we have a bad father. Don't you agree? And so often when it comes to our parents, there is something that is learned. Conditional love. If you obey me, if you do what I ask you to do, then I love you. But when you stop doing what I ask you to do, then I do not love you. I don't know where else we learn this. But often we learn it in our relationship with our parents. The reality is when we have a good parent who loves us not because what it means for them. Because of the prestige of my son or daughter, did you see what they've done? Do you see this? Do you see that? When a parent makes a child about themselves. But when a parent loves a child for the child's sake. Loves them. And if I said loves them, that means that pain is going to be involved with it. Why? Because love is sacrificial. Even in the giving and in the receiving. Love is sacrificial. There is pain involved, even in the receiving of love. How do I know? Well, I can tell you from my own personal prayer experience, sitting there in prayer before the Lord, Lord, who are you? Who am I? Lord, who are you? Who am I? And the Lord saying, I am love. And I'm looking at you. Anthony, what does that mean that you are loved, beloved? And then the response of my heart, yeah, you say you love me, but you don't know me. If you knew me, you wouldn't love me. Lord, who are you? Who am I? The Lord says, I know all things, omnipotent. I know all things, and I'm looking at you. You are known. Yes, Lord, you say that you know me, but if you truly knew me, you wouldn't love me. I already told you that I am love and you are beloved. You see how that goes? The lie that we believe about ourselves or who we believe ourselves to be. The reason that receiving God's love is because he knows us perfectly and he loves us perfectly. And there's no weaseling way out of excusing away his love for us. But what it means is if I receive that, If I receive that I am known and I am loved, that I am known, capital K-N-O-W-N, that I am loved, beloved, capital B-E-L-O-V-E-D, I am beloved, I am known, what does that mean? To receive it is painful. Why? Because the lie that I believe about myself must die. The image of who I think I am that I cling to is wounded by that. I want to operate in this mentality that I must earn God's love, that I must be perfect in order to be able to be loved. Because I want myself, even to love myself, I want to love myself because I am perfect. Not because I'm broken, not because I'm unable, not because I'm little and weak or childlike. I want to love myself because I'm perfect. And when I am not perfect, it's hard to love myself. My brothers and sisters, this mentality, this attitude towards ourselves is not scriptural. And it does not correspond to what Jesus has done for our salvation. He comes into the world, not because we were ready for him, not because all of a sudden we were perfect. Look at the Pharisees. The whole Pharisaical project was in order to perfect the people so that the Messiah could come. You understand that? Their whole mentality was the Messiah will not come until we are perfect. The problem is they could never be perfect. No observance of the law was going to make them perfect because they were still living in the broken relationship of the fall. Their observance of the law was a sign of faithfulness, was a desire of obedience, but it was never for their salvation, never for their justification. The Pharisaical project, we could call it, is alive and well in the church. In the church. In the church. From the mouths of babes, my brothers and sisters, the recognition that the church believes that she must be perfect in herself, apart from grace, in order to be loved. You know how hard it is to hug someone that doesn't want to be hugged? You ever done that? Go to hug somebody and they're like, you can let me go anytime now, right? If you want an analogy for purgatory, you're on the way to heaven. There you go. There's your hug, right? Right? God manifesting his love, embracing us, and us not able to receive it. We're still clinging to something, still clinging to this, still clinging to that, and cannot receive his love. Love has embraced you, and not being able to receive it is painful. Let me go. That's got to be burned up. That's got to go away, especially if you're going to enter into heaven. The full expression of love given and received and reciprocated. So my brothers and sisters, we, as those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the most important thing that we need to do, most important thing that we need to do is not fix ourselves. The most important thing that we need to do is to receive God's love. Do you understand that? You are made in the image and likeness of God who is love. You are made to be love for others. How can you do what you refuse to receive? How do you even know how to love if you have not been loved? Because I'm telling you, as loving as your parents possibly could be, it is the love of God that is perfect, and he loves you for your sake. Period. Not what it means to me, but for your sake. He manifests his love. He teaches us what love is. In receiving that love, simple reality of receiving his love, because he already loves you. Incredibly, terribly difficult and painful. Why? Because when that truth comes, all lies and falseness must die. Do you understand me? What I'm inviting you to do is incredibly simple. Think of how many presents you received well in your lifetime. That's what I'm asking you to do. Okay? I'm asking you to receive. You've done it in small ways, in little ways in your life. You've done this. But I'm telling you, while it is simple, radically simple, it is terribly hard. Because the old understanding of who you are, the old way of operating, the lies, the deception that is a part of our life, cannot stay. It must die. And my brothers and sisters, we don't need this. This is not who we are. The lies and the deception is not who you are. It's the modus operandi. It's the way in which we operate, right? Military terms, what's it called? And you're like, this is how you operate. This is what you do. What's that? Yeah. Standard operating procedures, your SOP, right? Your SOP for living in that lie is wrong. You have to learn a whole new SOP, a new standard operating procedure. And truth is the one that will give it to you. The answer is receiving His love and abiding in it and living in it. My brothers and sisters, there is a transformation that is for us on the other side of this love. All that you hope to be, the perfection of your life, the transformation of your heart, the freedom that you desire to live in, it is all there for you, but you first must receive His love. You cannot come to that transformation apart from His love. And there is an ego that's involved as well. Because if I can do the transformation myself, then I deserve His love. I've earned His love. That ego, that false self, my brothers and sisters, must die. So, homework. Super simple. Super incredibly simple. Receive His love. That's why we're here in the celebration of Mass. His love is made manifest. He pours out Himself right now, right today, for you and for me. Receive His love. I said it's simple. I didn't say it's easy. Because allowing yourself to be loved and receiving that love, abiding in that love, abiding in the truth that it speaks about who you are, means the old man in you must die. And the reason I say man is because that's in Scripture. St. Paul says the old man, the old person, right? You two women, that old person in you must die. That old person in you is not true. It has never been true. Allow Jesus to reveal the truth of who you are. Receive His love, abide in His love, and the transformation that we desire will follow. Amen.